Kidnappers are using a terrifying new tactic to get bigger ransoms paid out much faster. We get the details from specialist investigator Mike Ballhase. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
You are welcome. Please describe to us how this method works.
Well, first of all, what must be understood is that any crime today, no matter what it is done with criminals, by criminals, with electronic and digital devices. In other words, they all have a phone or laptops or other electronic and digital devices which they can use, which could be jammers, which could be track and traces, which could be all forms of paraphernalia that they use in order to identify their victim, to do a thorough evaluation, identification, a risk analysis, a complete investigation on it, and then execute the crime and to get away. So the in and out. What is interesting is when we do investigations as specialist investigators, it's the very thing we do, except the crime side of it. We leave any and all investigations behind with crime prevention. So we do the complete identification, evaluation, risk analysis, investigation, the solving of the investigation, and then leaving in place crime prevention. So this is what the criminals on high-level crime cases are doing today. They would have their contacts in cell phone companies, in banks, and in any other business or institution where they would need assistance from, either by information or people being there or not being there or playing their part, whatever they would require. Especially we're now talking about levels of kidnapping and of extreme robberies and theft that's been committed in businesses. So it's a planned thing. It's not something like in the past, it would just be opportunistic or criminals walking around and then just decide, oh, we're going to do this building or do this kidnapping. Today, it's all on information, relies on information. So cybercrime and AI is my biggest a challenge in the future. It's our biggest challenge. It's the biggest challenge for the world, because anything God creates for good, Satan will use for evil. So all these brilliant things that we have presently that we use in order to better our lives, better communications, better business, making quicker and more informed decisions, all of the good things you can say about cell phones, laptops, all the apps, the thousands of apps and forms of communications, all of it is there to our advantage. However, the criminal mindset is there, and unfortunately that is a lot. They will use that to commit crime and obviously use it for evil. So regarding your question, the kidnappings in South Africa, on the high level, you've got many levels of kidnappings, many, quite a few. But on the high level, it's extremely planned. And you have, obviously, as I've said, the three facets in it. You have the serious violent crime, you have the serious economic crime, and you've got the serious cyber crime that's being committed in order to get the main thing, and that is money. There's two reasons for that high-level kidnappings. It could be to take a person away with extreme information, but it always will accompany money as well, and then murder the person, or just plain for money. Those are the two levels on that level.
So, Mike, so can you describe for us how kidnappers are weaponizing sexual violence for extortion?
So kidnappers will, once they have executed their crime, will do any and everything to move the outside parties that care, the families, friends, business partners, whomever is outside, to pay them the money that they would identify to them that they have investigated, identified that they can pay. So remember now, kidnappers in this high level of kidnapping will take businessmen, people of worth. They will know your worth. They would have done an investigation. They would know, obviously, everything from the physical stuff surrounding you, your jewelry, your vehicle, everything, the vehicles, everything about your wife, your kids, your house, the valuables in your house, your worth, your complete worth, even possibility of having bank statements, because they do that. They have contacts in the banks. They have contacts in the communication networks, and they can pull that information. It's obviously black market, underhanded and or hacking. Once they have that amount, they would lay it before the family. And if the family start making moves, getting the police involved, getting us involved, or not adhering to what they require, they will harm the person that they have in their position. If it's a woman, they will obviously threaten with rape. Usually in these high-level kidnappings, the sexual tone would not necessarily be done. In other words, there won't necessarily be a rape. They are there for the multi-millions of rands. But in the lower levels of kidnappings, many a times the rapes does occur. And then obviously any other form of serious violent crime that can be committed by them on the party or person, which they will video and send in order to move you. So here's the thing. Those planned out extreme kidnappings will definitely have an effect on the people that is left behind, those that care. And 90% of these high-level kidnappings are paid out unless the authorities, ourselves, the experts, the specialists have some form of tangible good intel and can track and trace them on devices. The only way to track and trace them. There's no other way. Or an informant. An informant that says something happening in this area, there's people kept. And there's maybe information that has leaked out, or, you know, there's also many a times amongst the criminals, they make mistakes by talking in townships or shebeens or on cell phones, and then information is overheard. Those are the two ways that information would get to the authorities or to us, which we can then use to track and trace with highly specialized devices where they're at. But those are the only two ways. It's either by informants or digital or electronic information that's being received or given by either informants or picked up by specialist investigators like ourselves. But if we're talking about other forms of the where sex or women specifically, or men for that matter, are being extorted or held at ransom, it is usually just digital and electronic. In other words, having naked photos, a man has called in speaking to a prostitute and the pimp is now on him. It's called sextortion. This is the low-level sextortion, the normal sextortion, where they will then contact him and say to him, you must pay 500 rand or 5,000, otherwise everything goes to the wife. The higher levels to the extreme, and you guys are more than welcome to place all our projects on kidnappings, sextortion, extortions, any form of where people are held ransom, whether it's physically or whether it's via digital information. But anyway, they would use this information, the explicit information, which sometimes has videos, audios, and all forms of communications, and it could be on a site that they've opened. Any porn site is always linked to pimps. Any pimp is always linked to a corrupt policeman or ex-policeman or ex-bouncer or security officer muscle. So it's a syndicate, whether it's a small syndicate of just three or four people, or a big group targeting masses of people. Let me tell you, on the kidnapping level, on the highest level, the amounts could be in the multi-millions. But I can tell you, the biggest amounts in totality paid is on sextortion, extreme extortion. And there's several levels, and the highest level is one where a person has maybe opened up a communication on WhatsApp. That's how small it starts. And it's just a hi, how are you? And if you guys read all these projects of mine, you will actually, you will have nightmares. It is just so shocking and so unbelievable. But anyway, just to get to the point, they will then, on the other side, you know, start communicating how's it and what. And then eventually, after some familiarity, show me a bit. And then it's just normal photos. And then after that, show me a bit more. And unfortunately, the stupid men fall for this, and they do. And then they would then say, but another guy will call and say, listen, you have paid with false money, and we now at the police station, we're going to arrest you, or you have now threatened and intimidated a prostitute and raped her. That's how extreme they will go, and it's all in the projects. It explains it in detail. The bottom line is that they come forward with extreme extortion where policemen are involved and or SAPS impersonators, where they will totally convince the victim, the man, 99% it's men. It happens amongst women as well, but very little, where they live in complete and total utmost fear. And here's the shocking thing. Many of these syndicates are linked to people that are already in prison. So your biggest syndicates are in prison, because the prison criminals can only commit crimes with a cell phone or a laptop. They can move 2-3 meters this way, 2-3 meters that way, and that's that. They've got no vehicles, no transport. They can not act out anything. They can only sit and commit crimes with digital and electronic devices, which they smuggle in, which they pay the guards to use as well, and which they give them a cut. But multi-millions of rands, much more than kidnappings, especially in South Africa, are lost due to sextortion, extortion, extreme extortion by SAPS impersonators, SAPS corrupt cops in South Africa. Hundreds of millions of rands during the years. It is too much to count, and it's too difficult to give the statistics. But just to shock the public, we have more than, I would say, 10 million photos, if not more, during the last 20 years of sextortion alone, which we have stored and kept, and which we keep as to see if they're going to be used again. Because remember, these photos and videos and all of this information is on the system out there. And unless you burn it and remove it, you need to identify it first and get it off and completely destroyed. They use it again. And with AI today, they can take your head and put another head on, or they can take your head and put a naked body underneath it and put you in bed with another man and then inform your husband that you are having an affair. And they can do it so well that it would be believable. And they can have a bit of a history that they have created of you in order now to extort you, especially if you're well known and you're of worth. They will try this. But fortunately, it's in its infant stage now. And if something shows to be good to be true, it usually is. I mean, your husband is going to know that this is not you, and this is fake, and this is AI. But soon it will be perfected, and in such a way, so believably be presented, and that will become part of the extortion, sextortion, and extreme extortions.
Mike, why don't we hear of kingpins getting arrested? The kingpins of the kidnapping syndicates, the kingpins of extortion syndicates, why are they walking free?
Well, that's a total, the downside of the subject is the authorities. The authorities, unfortunately, that question wouldn't have been if we've had a thorough, proper, professional, fit, able, capable, willing, protect and serving police force, which we don't have. The safety and security industries in South Africa is dismal, is untrained, unprofessional, unstable, can't do the work, don't want to protect and serve, don't want to make a difference, and are many a time just in it for the money and are avoiding the real issues and problems due to, as what I've just said, or due to the fact that they are scared as well. So you have a policeman today, and unfortunately about 80% of our policemen are corrupt. And corruption does not necessarily mean taking money. It means when you cannot protect and serve, if you cannot do the work, or if you're scared, if you don't want to do the work, or if you just put the docket every time underneath and don't attend to it, or all the other things that I've said. If you don't do the work, then you are corrupt. Then you're a misrepresentator, you're a fraudster, and you're a thief because you get a salary. That's why, unfortunately, so many policemen are misrepresentators. They are fraudsters, and they are thieves. And this is why all crimes in South Africa is flourishing. Crime can only flourish in a country if there's an authority involved or not involved. If the authorities are there involved to curb crime, to identify crime, to evaluate it, do the risk analysis, do the investigation, solve it, and prevent it, you won't have crime. If you take corruption out of this country today, there's no crime. If you take crime out of this country today, there's no corruption. As a matter of fact, if both is the same, if you take it out of this country, you can take off the burglar bars, you don't need insurance, you don't need police, you need nothing because there's no crime. And if you put an ad, which is the most important thing amongst the public, to love your neighbor as yourself, you will not steal your neighbor's chicken, neither will you do anything wrong against him or his wife. Neither will you lie. Neither will you do anything crime-wise at all. So those are the two biggest problems we have in our country, is that it's filled with corruption. Corruption works and it pays, and it's filled with crime because crime begets crime. In other words, if crimes are committed, it's not dealt with, it becomes more. No crime becomes less. There's no such thing if a person starts committing crime that he'll do it less, because crime pays and he can get away with it. And it's the same with corruption. That's why we have this extreme government corruption and involved with extreme police corruption on the highest level. And that is organized crime. That basically means it is organized as it says. It is so strong that it hijacks the country, it completely controls the country, and it is untouchable. And it's very difficult to investigate and to stop, because they have all the facets of a mafioso infrastructure organization, which is extremely feared, extremely feared. So you have a fear factor here, and I do not want to get involved factor. And I cannot investigate this factor, and we will not be able. And all the bad things about this, that it cannot be dealt with, is in place in the mindset of those who are supposed to deal with it, because it's such high level. It's like a little criminal government on its own, and it's called organized crime and racketeering. That's what it is. So the kingpins and all the extreme criminals in our country are getting away with it because they can. Remember, the definition of organized crime also includes that it is completely based on all the things that I've said there, as well as money. And money can buy you a witness. It can get somebody killed. It can close a mouth and open a mouth. Money can do wonders. And if that wonder doesn't work, then there's money to pay a hitman, which they have, to kill somebody. So if you take money out of that complete equation, you don't have organized crime at all. But they have the top businessmen that's corrupt in their organized crime, shall we call organization. They have officials that makes decisions on government level. They have top policemen that can make sure that things are smoothed over, dealt with, investigated or not investigated, and being prominent and there and abuse that power. And then they've got hitmen and muscle. So it's a complete oiled machine. And all of them talk to each other, and all of them operate together, and all of them share in the money. And they all look after each other. In our situation presently, fortunately, a general himself in the highest level stood up. And in that level, exposed, which we appreciated he did because it was high time. And this can make some form of a difference. And that's why we see the total chaos there. Everybody is turning against each other. Everybody has got something to say about each other. And there's no honor amongst criminals here. And hopefully that will implode and explode this complete stronghold that this organized crime gang mafioso group has in our country.
Meanwhile, Mike, how can people protect themselves from kidnappers and extortionists?
Well, don't flaunt your wealth. Don't show what you're worth. Be extremely careful of social media. Be very, very careful with Skinner and Cockbrat. Watch out what you say. Watch out what you expose, your holiday places, your beautiful cars. Don't do the Kardashian, flash all your jewelry. This is just on the kidnapping side. Don't in any way draw attention as a person of worth. Remember, those that are poor are totally saved from this crime. So I'm speaking here to the rich, the famous, those that have, not the have-nots. Secondly, make sure that your security systems is in place. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Make sure that you have proper protection. All the electronic and devices, tracking devices, video and audio equipment that needs to be installed, do it. Go to the extreme. If you're a multimillionaire, spend a million or two on proper safety and security, including, if necessary, a driver bodyguard, etc., etc. Thirdly, make sure that your banks and all your financial institutions and your family read all our projects and prepare themselves for, in case, after you've taken all these things in consideration and these preparations, what to do in a situation like that. Unfortunately, this is what the public must just visualize for a moment. If you are taken as a man of worth, the very first thing, once you're in the vehicle and they're off with you, remember, it's totally planned. It's very well executed. They leave no forensic evidence and information behind. You are taken swiftly. You were taken at a spot where there is no other any form of witness or evidence left behind you, completely isolated, taken away and isolated. The very first thing that is done is the threat of death, gun against the head, and say, if you work together, you will be released. We are going to ask for money. If it's paid, you will be fine. Once you're brought to an isolated spot, you are told exactly what to do. So even if what I'm just telling them, you, the rich businessmen now, that you must make sure as much as possible with your banks and your financial institutions and with your family that the money is not easy to get to. It must be difficult. It must not be all displayed on your phone. You must have the minimum information on your phone. They don't care about that anymore, unfortunately. They will. If it's not an extreme group with all the knowledge that I've spoken of, but they will put the gun against your head and tell you to call your bank manager. And your bank manager will have to do, otherwise you are dead. This is how they work. They are brazen. They don't care who they speak to and what they say to. They will call the wife and say the same. And they will give you a time limit. And they will demand that money. No matter how you hide it, no matter what you do, how difficult you've made it, and even if your phone is blank, that is what will happen. Because they have done the investigation that you are worth and you can pay the $5 million. So the bottom line is, this is what you must understand, that these high-level hijackers and kidnappers are there to get the money out of you. And the only one that can make sure that it does that is you. And you will make it happen no matter how much you've hidden it. You can make it as difficult as possible for them and play for time, and could take maybe a bit longer, but they have no problem with patience. But they will draw the line at a point, and they will not hesitate to kill. So you need to be careful to not be in their hands, because once you're in their hands, it is basically a situation, it's going to be paid. As I've said, there are many other levels of kidnappings, and it's much easier to investigate those. But if we're talking about a multimillionaire, an extreme businessman, or an extremely well-known or influential person that is of worth, they will require an amount to his worth, which they know could be paid. Concerning other forms, and on the as I've said, on the biggest level of extortion, you may have to be careful with your phones. Never put naked pictures. Don't open up porn sites ever. Never open up any sexual content site. Never, ever. Even if you get a hi in WhatsApp with a beautiful girl, ask yourself, are you that handsome and are you that wanted that this girl wants to communicate with me? First of all, if you are as ugly as night and not handsome and not worth it and just a normal guy and you married and girls won't be just necessarily interested in you, then you already know that there's something going on here, especially if she sends a topless photo. Do not open, do not get involved, don't get in any way, in any form of communication with anybody. And even if you're the most handsomest guy, and if you, even if you're the most singlest guy, no matter what your situation is, never open up a porn site, never open up a hi of a beautiful woman, never get involved in any sexual content site platform whatsoever. Because once they have your information, they can get further information, and their aim is to place any and all of your information outside to everybody to see. And you know the South African public, they love that. And they like to defame you and put you in the worst of situations. And that is the next thing that will go through your mind. Even if you're single, even if you're whatever, they would want money from you, otherwise they will totally show you. So be very careful with your phones. If you lose your phone and you shit yourself, then you know you've had too much on your phone. So make sure you don't have anything on your phone that puts you in a compromising position. Any form of further physical communications, physical meetings, visiting prostitutes is a no-no. They film it. They film and audio it. And whilst you're busy, they raid your vehicle and another person or woman comes in and goes through your clothes and gets your driver's license, takes the money in your purse, etc., etc. Stay away from all and any prostitutes. Always. There is just no way you can get involved because all of them are involved with pimps and with muscle. And they will come for you and they will rob you. So we need to protect ourselves constantly in who we operate with physically and in who we operate digitally and electronically. We need to count to 10. We need to think twice. And we need to keep our phones extremely professional and clean. And we need to consider, if I lose this phone today, am I in deep shit? Or is it just the phone I've lost, the insurance will pay and I can carry on, and I'm not in a compromising position? With that said, don't have anything on your phone that identifies your address, if possible, and any, if you're especially a person of worth. Don't let a person of worth have anything on his phone about his finances, his valuables, what he has, etc., etc. People are very lazy. They don't clean their phones at night or in the morning. It's best to clean it in the morning. To spend at least 10, 15 minutes, go through the phone, and only leave on the phone that's necessary. And of course, several, at least 4 kinds of passwords. Make sure that your phone is totally secure. Make sure that you have a go-to guy. In other words, if your phone is lost, does your go-to guy have the ability to maybe enter your phone, assist, retrieve everything from the cloud, et cetera, so you don't lose? My lawyer the other day made the biggest mistake. He just stopped on his way to me to quickly run in and buy a bottle of water. And the jammers were very good. He locked the car, but he didn't look bad walking away and doing at least 3 times, as we expect. And we expect of the public to do. When you leave your car, you click once, look at the car that it does its lights. Walk 20 meters, turn around, do it again. Work for 50 meters and do it again. He didn't do that. When he came back, his stuff was taken out of his car. Fortunately, we have go-to guys in our organization. We retrieved all the information very quickly. We only lost the phone. As a matter of fact, we track and trace the phone and we burned it. So it's done. So be very, very careful that your phone is linked in such a way to your go-to guy so that you can immediately carry on. Otherwise, I mean, are you going to carry on with your life and business? Because without your phone today, you won't go on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was Specialist Investigator Mike Bullhuis speaking to BizNews. And I'm Chris Stain. Thank you, Mike.
Cheers to everybody.